The Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus makes himself real today to his believers.
But Dr. Tony Evans says many believers block what the Spirit is trying to do, both by our actions and by our words.
Your tongue can block God from giving you divine guidance.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If the Lord is so willing to give us direction, why do we often feel so lost? And if he's giving us words to say, why don't we speak up? Dr. Evans will have the answers today as he talks about the importance of letting the Holy Spirit speak and live through us. Let's join him.
We've already seen in a previous sermon, Jesus said that all manner of beasts can be tamed, but no man has been able to tame the tongue. And the Bible speaks about the tongue that it is set with the very fire of hell. We've set it ourselves. We've seen the fire of hell come from our speech. But we've also discovered previously that God said, if you ever learn to manage the tongue, you can handle the rest of you. Like a bit in the horse's mouth or a rudder on a huge ship, this little thing can shift directions of bigger things. The question on the floor today is, how do I do that? How do I shift my speech so that it works for me and not against me? Especially since it's a big deal to God. God has told Moses, I've got an assignment for you. Go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Moses said, I don't want to talk to him. Because there's sometime that folk in your life you don't want to talk to. I want to talk to him because he's not nice. See, Pharaoh wanted to incarcerate the people of God and ultimately destroy them. And he says, you want me to go talk to him? He says, I can't talk to him. I have not been eloquent in speech. I don't know how to communicate, nor in time past or here. And in between the time, you and I have met. But my meeting with you hadn't changed my ability to speak. Some of you folk here, before you got saved, would tell folk a piece of your mind. And meeting Jesus hadn't changed the thing. Moses said, before and after, my speech has not changed. I still have a speech limitation, especially with the person you're asking me to talk to. Let me talk to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's out to get me. He's out to hurt me. He doesn't like me, and I don't like him. And yet you want me to go talk to him. So God has to give him a little lesson in theology. He says to Moses, who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, blind or being able to see? Is it not I, the Lord? Since I made it and I want you to use it, I will be in it when it's time to say it. Did you know that a major part of God's relationship with you involves him being Lord over your lips? He says, not only am I telling you to go talk to somebody you don't want to talk to, I am telling you I'm going to give you the words to say when it comes time to talk to them. I am going to dictate to you, if it will. I'm going to carve out for you the conversation. I know you're a little nervous about this conversation. I know you're a little insecure about how you're going to relate, particularly to this negative person that you're talking to. Some folk are easy to talk to. It's a nice flow. You want to be nice to them. But certain folk, you don't want to be in the same vicinity with them. Because you're not sure what they're going to say, and they better not say what they could say, or you're going to say what you've always wanted to say. But God says, yes, I do want you to talk to Pharaoh, a person you don't prefer to speak to, because I have a plan, but don't worry. I made your mouth so I can carve out the vocabulary. I'm going to tell you what to say. Every president has a speechwriter. These are folk who write out, they carve out the speech for the situation. Given the content and the people who are being spoken to, God is literally saying to you, I want to be your speechwriter. Now, why is this a big deal? Why does God want to involve speech? Because God created words to create purpose. Remember, in the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. So words were used not only to convey content, but to achieve a purpose. He spoke because words were supposed to work out his will. And he created us in the image of God. So in granting us speech, he was granting us the ability to take words and put them to work to accomplish his will. And he says, if you let me be your speechwriter, I will communicate to you so that you can communicate from you to accomplish something. So that raises the question, doesn't it? How do I get God to be my speechwriter? How do I get God to control my content? How do I get God to maneuver what I'm to say in this situation with this person at this time about this subject? If God wants to become that intimate with me, that he really wants to be involved in what I say, when I say it, how I say it, to whom I say it, you mean God wants to be that involved with me? Absolutely, Moses, I will tell you what to say. In John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus said these words. He says, I only say what the Father tells me to speak. So it's when Jesus, the Son of the living God, came into the world, he says, when I talk, that's because God told me what to talk about. I'm in such a relationship with the Father that I only speak what he said speak. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 11, the second book of the New Testament, and watch this statement. When they arrest you and hand you over, do not worry beforehand about what you are to say, but say whatever is given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Holy Spirit. So guess what? The Holy Spirit speaks. He's got a mouth. He's got a tongue. And he speaks. But he speaks to you. He will tell you what you are to speak because he's first going to speak to you. And whatever he tells you, that's what you say. But if you don't know the Holy Spirit talks and you don't know how to hear his voice, then you talking on your own and you're not talking from what he told you to say. If we ever learn to hear the Holy Spirit, it would change our conversation so that our words would go to work to accomplish a will and not just be verbalization into nothingness. He said, so powerful is God as a speechwriter that you don't even have to worry about what you're going to say in advance. I generally look at national news. I'm a news buff, and so I'm regularly looking at the news, and it's generally one of the national cable stations. And so I'm looking at national news most of the time. National news gives me the big headlines of the big events occurring around the nation and around the world. That's what I get from national news. I don't go to national news for the weather in Dallas. I mean, that's a local station. I don't go to the national news for the traffic patterns. I'm not going to get that from the national news. Or an accident on the highway. I'm not going to get that. It's the local news that's got that helicopter flying around to tell me what expressways to avoid. That's local stuff. National stuff is big picture stuff. It doesn't get down to the details. You're in church this morning, and in church this morning, you're getting the national news. See, because I don't know what your issue is and your issue is and your problem is and the person in your life, what the trouble is. I don't know all these local situations. I just know the national. And so I'm giving you this morning the national news. But if you have the Holy Spirit, he can give you a local channel. See, it's the job of the Holy Spirit to localize what you're receiving in church nationally. Because if all you're hanging on is the national news, then you're going to miss out on local programming. You're going to miss out on what he wants to say to you, about you, through you, because you have a unique situation different than the person next to you, behind you, or in front of you. So unless you learn to walk in the Spirit, unless you learn to hear the voice of God speaking to the mind so that he can dictate to the mouth, then you will miss how he wants to specifically lead you to address this personal scenario by means of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 to 13. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He says, a good father doesn't give their kid a snake or a scorpion. Now, what's a snake or a scorpion? Look back at chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. So serpents and scorpions represent the power of the enemy. So it's the devil after you, it's demons after you, or demon-inspired people after you. He says, those are serpents and scorpions. You know, we call people a snake in the grass. That's a scorpion. It's a negative scenario. He says, I will give you authority over them. But that authority comes by means of the Holy Spirit. But how do I get the Holy Spirit? He says, ask him. He says, ask him. You mean it's that easy? Oh, yeah, it's that easy. This is easier than you think. He says, if you have the Holy Spirit, that's the assumption that you have him, you're a Christian. He says he responds upon request. Okay, you go to your car. You got the body of your car because you can sit in it. You got an engine. So you got the power and you got the vehicle. But you also have a key. Now the key, little small thing, you slip it into the ignition, you turn it on, you got the motor on. So you can go somewhere. Oh, wait a minute. All I did was turn the key and the power erupted. I just turned the key and boom. I turned the key and I can go from 0 to 100. I turned the key and I got all that power just by. I don't have to get deep. I don't have to get deep. All I got to do is ask him. He says, and when you request the presence of the Holy Spirit in that hour, as on an as-need basis, he says, I will give you authority because he has authority.
Well, Dr. Evans will come back with more of our message in just a moment. They say actions speak louder than words, but as we've been learning, it's a dangerous mistake to underestimate the power of what we say. After all, who doesn't have a story of pain or regret after saying something they wish they hadn't? That's why Tony has written a brand new book called Watch Your Mouth. It builds on what we're learning in our current series and focuses on ways to develop the self-control we need to tame our tongues. These principles are so important that we're making a copy of Watch Your Mouth available to anyone who can come alongside Tony's ministry during these difficult summer months with a contribution of any size. Details are waiting for you online at tonyevans.org. That's tonyevans.org. Or call us any time of the day or night at 1-800-800-3222. I'll repeat all that information for you later on. But right now, here's Dr. Evans with more of today's message.
Isaiah 50 verse 4. He says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may know how to sustain the weary one with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. Oh, wow. He said, God wakes me up. He starts talking to me in the morning so that I know how to use my tongue today. In other words, he wakes up in the morning and he says, now my request is that you will speak by your spirit through my lips by putting your ideas in my mind as I speak and audibilize them as I need them. The Bible calls this concept to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. He says, be not drunk with wine, which is destructive. He says, be full. I do want you to get drunk, but not with wine, which is destruction. He says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay. Last time I checked, there's only one way to get drunk. Oh, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know anything about it, but I know a lot of y'all do. Be not drunk with wine. There's only one way to get drunk. Drink. You drink. You know? And you drink, and the more you drink, the drunker you get. And we can know when you're drunk, because you're acting outside of your normal self. You're stammering outside of your normal talk. You're stuttering outside of your normal movement. Why? Because something else has taken over. Something else is now in control. And when the Holy Spirit starts governing your speech, you're going to know it because you're going to say, where did that come from? I wouldn't normally have said that to that person that way. I wouldn't have normally related that way. But the question is, do I just want to vent or do I want to accomplish His will with my words? If you want to vent, you can do that all day. But he says, when you request the fulfilling of the Holy Spirit, when you request for God to govern your tongue, when you request for God to be in your gums, for God to be Lord of your lips, when you invite the Holy Spirit, he says, he will meet you at the need in that hour. Even though you haven't pre-thought it or know what you're going to say. Every time I stand up here before Sunday, I say, now, Lord, have your way with the sermon and take it in the direction you want it to go. So three illustrations that I gave you in this morning's sermon was not planned. That came as he spoke to my head in the midst of the sermon to give me what I didn't plan to say. So I had my thought about what I was going to say, but I gave him the freedom to fill the moment with what he once said. So he gave me stuff I wasn't even thinking about talking about. And see, it's in this everyday stuff that God becomes real to you. It's in this everyday stuff that you're not just going to church and hearing the sermon, but you're hearing God talk and deal with you as an individual Christian, because the Holy Spirit is the means by which Jesus makes himself real today to his believers. Let's look at one other scripture. I love this one. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, the great prophet, in the year that King Uzziah died, it says Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up with his train filling the temple. He saw the glorious God, and then he heard something. He heard the angels. And when he heard the angels, this is what he heard. The seraphim stood above him in verse 2 with six wings. Two they covered their face, two they covered their feet, two they flew, and one called out to the other and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the threshold trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. He said, I heard them worshiping God in the temple on a bad day, because it was in the year King Uzziah died. If things weren't going well, this is a bad year for me. King has died. But that's when I discover the king is still on the throne. He says, and stuff started shaking all around me in the temple. And then I said, verse 5, woe is me. I am ruined. That means coming apart at the seams. Because I am a man of unclean lips. Whoa. When I saw God, I saw my mouth. And my mouth was dirty when I saw God. Then he says, I dwell among a people of unclean lips. So my mouth is dirty and their mouth is dirty. But you know what? You can be around dirt so long you don't feel it's dirty no more. And I hope you notice that younger and younger and younger, the kids are cussing now. What you wouldn't have heard till college became high school. High school became junior high school. Junior high school is now elementary school. If you don't watch it out, a kindergartner will cuss you out. Because now they're surrounded by a people of unclean lips. Every television program, they're using the words now and they're throwing them out. So it's become regular. Things you would not think to say bounce off of us now. Because we are unclean lips. We're surrounded by people with unclean lips. But you don't know that until you see God. He says, on that day when I saw the Lord, I was reminded of how evil my tongue was. That's not only profanity, that's putting people down, that's gossip, that's tearing people up, ripping people's character apart, using my tongue to hurt other people. It can be a whole different way, but everybody's doing it until I see God high and lifted up. And I understand my lips are unclean, and he's the prophet, he's the preacher that can't control his mouth. It's how deep it had gotten. And he says, when I saw God lifted up and when I saw how the angels talk, I said, woe is me. Sometimes it comes out when you're complaining when you ought to be thankful. Complaining about what you don't have when you have what you do need. Spend all your week complaining and hardly a minute giving thanks. The person who said, I complain that I had no shoes until I saw the man who had no feet. I changed what I saw. It's like the monk who went to the monastery. The monk went to the monastery and he did the monastery and that was a place of silence and serenity. And so in this particular monastery, you could only say two words once a year. Only two words once a year. So he went to say after the first year, his first two words to the head monk. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but the man in charge. So he went up to the head monk after he had, he said, bed hard. Bed hard. After the second year, it was time for his next two words. Food bad. Bed hard, food bad. Came at the end of the third year for his next words. I quit. I quit. Chief monk in charge said, well, I'm not surprised you've been complaining since you've been here. Because sometimes our mouths are used in a way opposite to what the Holy Spirit once said in a given situation. And when your mouth is used opposite to what God wants to say in a given situation, God's will is not being worked through your words, so don't expect it to work out. That's why you can fuss for years about the same subject and nothing improves. Because God, the Holy Spirit, was never in the conversation, so the conversation carried no heavenly clout. God didn't change anything because your words were not his. Because when he talks, worlds happen. When he talks, light enters darkness. When he talks, peace comes where confusion abounds, if he's allowed to speak. But we do to him what we don't want our kids to do to us. And that is, talk while we talking. Don't you hear me talking? Don't you hear me talking? I'm talking now. But we allow our speech to be so loud, we do not hear his voice. And we watch our speech achieve nothing. But more fights, more conflict. As James 4 chapter says, he says, you fighting all the time, you quarreling all the time, y'all mad at each other all the time. Why? Because you are so worldly and so out of touch with me that my influence is not being felt in your situation. But notice what happens in closing when he confessed about his lips. Then after he acknowledged, "Let my mouth not right." Then, verse 6, "One of the seraphims flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.'" Some of us need to put our mouths on the altar. The lady came to her pastor and said, "Pastor, you convicted me with your sermon. I want to bring my tongue to the altar." He said, "Lady, we don't have an altar that big." Some of us, if we told the truth, we have filthy mouths, ungrateful mouths, evil mouths, conflicting mouths. And we said we were going to do better. We meant we were going to do better with any divine involvement. Some of us are worse now with our lips than we were before we ever got saved. But he said, "When I confessed about my lips, he took the tongs off the altar." That's hot coals. He took the coals with the tongs off the altar and put them against my lips. Now, you know what that did? That hurts. Lips are some of the most sensitive parts of the body. You ever burnt your lips? That thing hurts. That hurts when you burn your lips. He put hot coals on his lips in order to burn away the evil talk. "And your sin is forgiven you." And why is that important? It's important because of verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Who shall I send and who will go for us?'" He got instruction from heaven on how to move ahead in his life because he was now open to the voice of God telling him what to say. In other words, your tongue can block God giving you your direction. Your tongue can block God from giving you divine guidance, from showing you what to do next. Because you know so much and you want to talk for yourself, you guide you. But now if you want the God of heaven to speak to your mind so that he informs your mouth what to do with your tongue and express with your lips. If you want God in your gums and the Lord over your lips, then I can tell you how to direct your life. Because such a small thing, he says, can direct the whole life.
Dr. Tony Evans, wrapping up a message he calls God in Your Gums. The full-length version of this lesson is available on CD. Just check with us for details on getting a copy. Better yet, you can request it as a part of our current 11-part teaching collection, Watch Your Mouth. All the information you need is waiting for you at tonyevans.org. While you're there, don't forget to check out that brand new book I mentioned earlier, also called Watch Your Mouth. It's the perfect resource to pick up where our current series leaves off, digging deeper into strategies that can help you keep your comments in check so the enemy can't put words in your mouth. As I mentioned, if you contact us before time runs out, we'll send it to you as our thank you gift when you help us keep Tony's teaching on this station with a contribution of any amount. Make the arrangements today at tonyevans.org. Or you're always welcome to call our resource request line at 1-800-800-3222, where staff members are standing by 24/7 to help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. The Bible tells us about the incredible power God has put into the hands of His people, but connecting with that power requires a clear understanding of who we are and who we aren't. Well, next week, Dr. Evans will speak to both of those questions for a look at spiritual covering and spiritual authority. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.